They said adequate shielding wasn't cost-effective. Did the Medicis ever tell Michelangelo, "Sorry, Mike, but marble's not really cost-effective. Here's a bag of cement." I think not.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's conducted by Lydia Asphalt. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Mike, no-hit wonder, Ahern.
My quizzing ability is just like any great song. It stays off the charts.
Tarn, one-woman wrecking crew, Alan.
Mashin' and smashin'.
And Aaron, Twister, Wade.
Trivia nerds, assemble.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's match. We have arrived in the first elimination match of our Season 8 Altair 4 division with two brand new players and one returning player from a season past, ready to compete. Keeping our scores today and making sure everything is shipshape is, of course, our friend Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I gotta say, I'm a little off my game today just because I was online this morning and somebody, I think he works in marketing, referred to, quote, multi-basketing his eggs, unquote. And I just can't get it in my head, and it's very, very upsetting.
Well, we'll leave Dan to his thoughts for a moment and also introduce Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Fatality. Deadly fatality. Killer fatality. Bloody fatality. Mortal fatality. Brutal fatality. Evil fatality. Vicious fatality. Savage fatality. Extreme fatality. Ultimate fatality.
Friendship. Friendship?
Well, I think there's no better sign than that it means it's time to forego some fatalities and celebrate some champions with a game of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The only catch, we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Librarian and game developer Mike Ahern, who is your champion today?
My champion is Dusa from the video game Hades.
Research administrator and beer brewer Tarn Allen, who have you got for your champion?
Pam Poovy from Archer.
And returning from our fourth season to fight another day, it's anxious millennial who grew up on TV and video games, Aaron Wade. Aaron, who have you got for your champion?
I have Major Glory from Dexter's Lab.
All right, three champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan is on judge duty today, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who has the longest streak in the popular language learning app Duolingo? Mike, why is Dusa from the video game Hades going to have the longest streak on Duolingo?
Well, the first thing you need to know about Dusa is that she is an incredibly hard worker. When she sets her mind to something, she absolutely commits to it. Yeah, she is the housekeeper of the House of Hades. She loves her work. She is known as a very good housekeeper. And I think she would bring that same level of commitment to anything else that interests her. And I think that learning new languages is certainly a skill that she's going to need whenever she encounters new souls in the underworld to share some hot gossip with. There's always more and more people dying, and those more and more people are always speaking newer and newer languages as time goes by. So if she wants to keep communicating with the shades that inhabit her home, then she's going to keep needing to learn new languages.
Thank you, Mike. All right, Tarn, why is Pam Poovy from the FX series Archer going to have the longest Duolingo streak?
I think Pam really accomplishes whatever she sets her mind to, sometimes to the extreme. She is not only the head of HR she was when Archer started the first few years, and then obviously it's drifted. But she races drift cars and she does all sorts of things and does underground fighting. So in one way, she's working with a lot of people from different cultures. So I think she's going to need to know some languages and stick to that. And as an HR person, I think she's also following the rules. So she's not going to break in any way. She needs to know to say more than just sploosh.
Thank you, Tarn. All right, Aaron, why is Major Glory from Dexter's Laboratory going to have the longest Duolingo streak?
Well, I think it would just be for the simple fact that he would do English over and over and over again because, you know, everybody speaks English in America and he loves America so much. And he would be able to do the French ones because he could talk to Dexter and definitely have that amour du fromage figured out, have that one solved. And, you know, he fights crime all across the world, so he's got to know at least stop bad guy in every single language. So he would try to keep up on those kind of things. And yeah.
Thank you, Aaron. All right. It is now up to Scoremaster Dan to determine today's My Champion winner. Dan, who's it going to be?
All right. So I think some context here is important because Dusa is the housekeeper, is the maid who eventually gets promoted. And you can romance Dusa in Hades. But it's important to remember that Dusa is also a disembodied Gorgon head. So I'm not sure how that works exactly with, you know, getting the little app out and doing it. Moreover, I question the logic of this disembodied Gorgon head having to know a lot of languages, because we have to assume that they can automatically speak any language of any shade that comes down. Do you think the souls come down to Hades and he's like, gosh darn it, do we have anyone who speaks Welsh? We don't. Do we need a Welsh speaker down here? Like, there's no way that's happening.
All the Welsh go to heaven. Of course.
They're like dogs, absolutely. Pam Puvi, my first thought was Pam Puvi, I think it's almost be a shoo-in, because of course she's got to talk to the Yakuza about the drifting in Tokyo. But the argument didn't make, you know, direct reference to that. Even HR, right? You have to know some other languages. Like, I know HR is supposed to learn Spanish in the US or other languages. So I think that makes it a little tighter with Major Glory. My first thought is, well, that guy's just a meathead. He's dumb. So I don't think he'd do it. But I like the idea of him doing English over again and just trying to do the first level on every language over and over again. So it's between Major Glory and Pam. And I gotta say, because Aaron made an argument specifically about language, I think we're gonna give it to Major Glory. So our winner today is Aaron and Major Glory.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Aaron. You have won My Champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will earn half a point before we even start round one. Here is your half-point question. In 2021, the fastest-growing language on Duolingo was Korean. Press reports attributed the growth to the popularity of South Korean culture in general, and this TV show in particular.
I would assume that would be Squid Game.
Correct. Squid Game gets you the half point. You also get to go first in round one, having a ball. Beauty and the Beast may be the tale as old as time, but there have been way more versions of Cinderella on both the big and small screens. In this game, we'll describe a filmed version of Cinderella. You tell me who played Cinderella or the equivalent role. So, if we told you 1960s Cinderfella is a gender-swapped version with this comedian trying to land Princess Charming, I understand they loved this movie in France, you'd know that the actor in the Cinderella role was...
Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, that would get you 10 points. Then you'll get a follow-up question about that version of the Cinderella story with a correct answer worth just 5 points. Let's start it off with our My Champion winner, Aaron. 1998's Ever After purports to be the true story of the fable, with this the stand-in star as the Cinderella stand-in, Danielle.
Well, it would help if I've seen that before, which I haven't, so I am not sure. I think I'm just going to have to pass.
Star of Ever After in 1998 was Drew Barrymore in that movie. Still for Aaron, in Ever After, this real-life inventor is the fairy godparent equivalent.
Let's go with Albert Einstein.
Leonardo da Vinci appearing as a character in Ever After, a Cinderella story. Next to Tarn. 1990's If the Shoe Fits, also known as Stroke of Midnight, features a princely fashion designer and this dirty dancer as his overlooked assistant who turns into a supermodel when she puts on magic shoes.
Jennifer Grey?
Yes, star of If the Shoe Fits. Now, Tarn, that princely fashion designer is played by this St. Elmo's Fire actor.
Oh, wow. I've never seen this movie. I just got the Dirty Dancer clue. So St. Elmo's Fire actor. Let's try Andrew McCarthy.
Rob Lowe in this case, also starring with Jennifer Grey. Next up to Mike. In the 2014 film version of Into the Woods, this Pitch Perfect star plays Cinderella.
Would that be Anna Kendrick?
Correct for 10. Cinderella's prince is played by this Star Trek actor.
Let's say Zachary Quinto?
Chris Pine singing Agony in Into the Woods. Back to Aaron. In the 2008 dance-oriented another Cinderella story, this Only Murders in the Building star gets to dance with her pop idol.
I'm going to say that's Selena Gomez.
Correct. The pop star is able to track down Gomez's character because she leaves behind one of these mostly forgotten music devices.
Let's go with everyone's favorite music device, a Zune.
Yes, the Zune, a major plot point in another Cinderella story.
That was a total guess.
Next up, over to Tarn. 1955's The Glass Slipper features a tomboyish turn from this star of Gigi and An American in Paris.
Oh, wow. Was that Leslie Caron?
Very good. Michael Wilding was cast as the prince despite having no dance training because of the publicity surrounding his marriage to this oft-wed star.
Oft-wed, I'm going to guess Elizabeth Taylor.
She got married in there with the best of them. Yes, the full 15 to Tarn. Back to Mike. From the year 2007, Shrek the Third features a number of fairy tale characters. This Strangers with Candy star voices Cinderella.
Ooh, I can picture the face, but I don't know what her name is. I am going to have to pass.
That is Amy Sedaris dropping in to voice Cinderella in Shrek the Third. Still for Mike, the main antagonist of Shrek the Third is Prince Charming, voiced by this My Best Friend's Wedding actor.
I will have to pass again. I have not seen My Best Friend's Wedding.
Rupert Everett, scene-stealing in My Best Friend's Wedding, also voicing Prince Charming in The Shrekiverse. I don't know if that's what it's called, but I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, well,
that's
fine.
What it's called now.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
We are back to Aaron. This star of It Happened One Night and The Palm Beach Story is a Cinderella figure in the 1939 Billy Wilder written Midnight.
You know better than to give me the questions that are that old. I have no idea, so I'm going to say pass.
Well, at least take a guess with a random old actress. In this case, we're talking Claudette Colbert, starring in Midnight. Now, Aaron, the male lead in Midnight, Don Ameche, had a long career in Hollywood, but is now best remembered for this 1985 movie.
Well, the name sounds somewhat familiar. I'm going to say he was in Footloose because the dancing movie.
He does dance in this movie. It is Cocoon with Don Ameche. Next up to Tarn. In a 2005 movie, this colossal star plays the titular Ella Enchanted.
Anne Hathaway.
This star of Hannibal is Ella's prince named Prince Charmant, or Char for short.
I only know one star from Hannibal. That's kind of funny. Mads Mikkelsen.
It's the other Hannibal star. That is Hugh Dancy, Will Graham from Hannibal.
A strange picture in my head.
And next to Mike. This younger star plays opposite Chad Michael Murray in 2004's A Cinderella Story.
I'm not familiar with younger. Just gonna throw out a random name, Nicole Kidman.
One of the stars of Younger is Lizzie McGuire herself, Hilary Duff, starring with Chad Michael Murray in that movie. Still for Mike, Duff's wicked stepmother is played by this American Pie actress.
I'm going to have to pass, unfortunately.
Jennifer Coolidge, recent Emmy winner, popping in to A Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff. And that'll take us to our first score update from Score Master Dan.
Our players are all on the board and doing okay. Mike currently has 10 points. Aaron is a little ahead with 15 points and the half point. Tarn has a commanding lead. She has 35.
All right, keeping it rolling with another Cinderella story example for Aaron. This Cuban-born singer of Havana has the lead in the 2021 Amazon version of Cinderella.
It took me a second to come up with her name, but I think it's Camila Cabello.
Camila Cabello, very good. In the 2021 version, this pose star and fashion icon is the fabulous godmother.
Man, I can see him. I know what he looks like. His name is Billy something. Billy.
almost there, Aaron. That's Billy Porter from Pose and in Girl Boss Cinderella. Next to Tarn. In a 1999 Muppet version, Carrie Russell is a charming princess. This Sesame Street Muppet may be only 3 years old, but winds up with the slightly altered title role.
Elmo?
Elmo Cinderella, very good. Now, Tarn, Elmo is too young to get married, so Russell marries the dog, who gets turned into a human played by this Third Rock from the Sun actor.
The dog, French Stewart.
That is correct. On the Cinder Elmo section of Sesame Street. Next up, over to Mike. The original CBS presentation of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella in 1955 had this dame in the title role.
Oof. Yes. Much earlier than my knowledge typically goes. Don't even know if she's a dame, and I always get, I believe, mother and daughter mixed up, but would this be Audrey Hepburn?
We're talking Dame Julie Andrews in that original TV broadcast of Cinderella. Still, for Mike, Edie Adams, who was Andrews' fairy godmother, showed up in multiple episodes of this 80s and 90s fourth wall-breaking TV show.
80s and 90s fourth wall-breaking. Not entirely sure about fourth wall breaks, but got to name a random TV show from the 80s and 90s, so I will say Full House.
We're talking It's Gary Shandling's Show, his first sitcom before The Larry Sanders Show. Next to Aaron. In addition to Disney's live-action Cinderella, this actress fought zombies as Elizabeth Bennet and played the second Mrs. De Winter in Rebecca.
I don't have any idea who that would be, so I'm going to say pass.
That is Lily James taking the title role in the Kenneth Branagh version of Cinderella. Still for Aaron, this Tar star plays Lily James' wicked stepmother.
Is that a real thing, Tars? I don't know what that is. So
T-A-R.
I'm not sure what that would be. So I'm also going to say pass.
Mike knows this one.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett as the wicked stepmother.
I'm just going to point out, when I do old Claudia Colbert movies, I get for, oh no, we can't say old movies. I do something that's in theaters right now. Come on.
Millennials, man.
You can't please us. You'll never be able to.
We're the worst.
When's the all The Office show, asks all millennials.
The Office thing show.
Next up, over to Tarn. This singer and actress had the lead role in the 1997 version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella during her run on Moesha.
Brandy.
Brandy Norwood starring in that version. Still for Tarn, Brandy's fairy godmother is played by this late New Jersey-born singer and actress.
That was Whitney Houston.
Absolutely. And our last question of round one is for Mike. 2011's A Cinderella Story, Once Upon a Song, has this Katie Keene and Pretty Little Liars star in the title role.
Thing I haven't heard of and a thing I haven't seen, I am going to have to pass.
Lucy Hale playing Cinderella in that version. The climactic scene of the movie has Hale singing behind a curtain that gets lifted to reveal her in a possible homage to this classic 1952 movie musical.
Have any musicals that all is Oklahoma?
The end of Singin' in the Rain with Devery Reynolds singing behind the curtain, popping up in that version of Cinderella. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
And look, I know you folks thought we had a bunch of old movies in there. We didn't ask the question about the 1914 silent version starring Mary Pickford. Like, it's right there. We could have done it. We decided against it. I'm just saying, like, we could have gone older.
I am grateful.
That's why we call him Dan the Merciful.
Going to round two, it's time for the Bulbasaur score break. Bulbasaur! Is anybody out there picking Mudkip as their starter? Really? At this point, Tarn is in the lead with 65 points, Aaron is 25 points and a half point, Mike is trailing with just 10, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Mike also gets a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Mike, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those three answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Film studios have been making movies out of video games for 30 years now, but the highest-grossing video game movies aren't necessarily based on the best-known games. The three movies based on video games with the highest worldwide box office are a 2016 Duncan Jones movie, a 2019 Ryan Reynolds movie, and a 2018 Dwayne Johnson movie. Name those three movies.
I'm kind of surprised that Sonic the Hedgehog isn't one of them, but I guess being released in 2020 doesn't help with that. So, let's see. The Dwayne Johnson one, I'm pretty sure, is Doom. Oh. Yeah, that's too early. The other video game-related Dwayne Johnson movie I can think of is Jumanji, but that's not a video game, at least not originally. Ryan Reynolds too early for... Oh! The Ryan Reynolds one is Detective Pikachu. And I will go for... This is wrong. I think it starred Jake Gyllenhaal, but I will say The Prince of Persia.
10 points for Detective Pikachu there. The highest grossing Dwayne Johnson video game related movie is his version of Rampage from 2018.
Oh, I forgot that existed.
And the highest grossing video game movie of all time worldwide, worldwide being the key there because this movie flopped in the US but made a buttload of money in China, that is Warcraft, the Duncan Jones Warcraft movie.
Another movie everybody forgot existed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Still 10 points for knowing Detective Pikachu to Mike. We're going to keep the video gamey theme rolling today with round two entitled Choose Your Fighter. At some point, we all want to know who would win in a fight between Baloo the Bear and Captain Kirk. And thankfully, there are a number of fighting games filled with unlikely characters that can help us answer questions like these. In this game, we'll describe some of the moves that a pop culture character has in a real fighting video game. You name that character. For instance, if we told you that this comic strip character from Nickelodeon's All-Star Brawl doesn't seem terribly threatening, as his attacks include yawning and rapidly eating lasagna, you'd know that that was the fighting game version of...
Garfield.
Garfield, that answer would get you 20 points. If you need more help, we can tell you who's played the character in movies or on TV, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, you can answer a related follow-up for 10 more points. Let's start it off with Mike. This is a comic book character who first appeared in 1940. He pulls out an extendo boxing glove, hitting his opponent multiple times. It does more damage if the Bird Boy Beatdown ability is enabled.
Bird Boy Beatdown. So I'm guessing the character is a Bird Boy. Definitely doesn't sound like Charlie Brown. I'm trying to think of what other... characters are that old. Could I have the hint for this one?
This character has been played by Cesar Romero.
Oh, the Joker.
Correct for 10.
The Bird Boy beatdown is a reference to the time that the Joker beat Robin to death with a crowbar. Comics, they're for kids.
Had to immortalize that.
Did you make puns about it being a crow for a Robin? I'm sure that had to have been in there, right?
It was all pretty dark. I'm not sure there were any jokes in that particular storyline.
Still, for Mike, Joker from 2019 is worldwide the highest-grossing R-rated movie of all time. What 2018 superhero sequel is the second-highest-grossing R-rated movie?
Would that be Deadpool 2?
Correct for another 10. Mike's on a hot streak. Next to Aaron. It's a character from a 1980 movie. Instead of just slashing with it, he throws his machete at his opponent.
I always get these two guys mixed up. So I'm going to go with Jason.
Jason Voorhees, but yes. The most famous pop culture Jason. We are going to take it. Very good. Aaron, the 1989 eighth film in the Friday the 13th series is set in this urban location.
Oh, this is the one that everybody makes fun of all the time. Is it like in the hood or something like that?
Leprechaun 5 is Leprechaun in the Hood.
That's what it is.
Friday the 13th, Part 8 is Jason Takes Manhattan. Next up, to Tarn. It's a movie character from 1974. Pretty much all of his attacks involve hitting the opponent with his chainsaw.
Leatherface.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacrer himself, Leatherface. Tarn, this night court actor did the narration for both the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the 2022 Netflix film.
Oh, night court narrator. I can think of, I'm going to say, John Larroquette.
Good answer. Another 10 for Tarn. Our next video game fighting cameo is for Mike. This is a character from a 1984 movie. If he's losing at the end of a fight, he can burn off his skin, leaving only a metal exoskeleton, which grants him various bonuses.
Okay. So, I'm guessing you won't accept simply the Terminator. Okay.
We will take it. The T-800 or the Model 101 T-800, all played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Still for Mike. The FBI agent played by Richard T. Jones in The Sarah Connor Chronicles is named after this sci-fi author who got an acknowledgement credit in the original Terminator.
I will say Isaac Asimov.
Harlan Ellison, with Agent Ellison being the reference there on Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Next up, back to Aaron. This is a comic book character from 1992. Rather than relying on his infernal energy blasts or symbiotic costume, he just pulls out some guns and shoots his opponent.
Can I have the hint, please?
This character has been played by Michael Jai White.
Oh, well, it didn't really help either then. I'm going to say Scorpion.
Mike knows this one.
I think this is Spawn.
It is Spawn showing up in Mortal Kombat. Still for Aaron, though, Martin Sheen, who plays a bad guy in the Spawn movie, won an Emmy Award not for The West Wing, but for a guest shot on this sitcom that started in 1988.
Oh, I was going to say The West Wing. Shoot. Would it be... Let's go with Frasier.
Murphy Brown, with Martin Sheen winning an Emmy in the guest category. Next up, we are back to Tarn. This is a character from a 1972 novel adapted into a 1982 movie. He pulls out his compound bow, from which he can launch a variety of attacks.
1972 novel, compound bow. The only archer that's come into my head, I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say Hawkeye.
This case, we are talking John Rambo. John Rambo. Hint would have been Sylvester Stallone in this particular case. Still for Tarn, though, the 2019 movie installment of the Rambo series has this subtitle.
Last Blood?
That's correct for another 10. Back over to Mike. It's the title character from a 2005 animated series. He has a powerful spinning staff strike, slashing air blades, and can go into a full elemental state.
I'm guessing this is Aang from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Correct for 20. Zach Tyler Eisen, who provides the voice of Aang on the TV show, is also credited on this singer's 2013 video for Young and Beautiful.
Title of the song doesn't ring a bell. Let's say Nick Jonas.
Lana Del Rey, singer of Young and Beautiful, with that voice actor in the video. Next to Aaron. It's a character who first appeared in a 1984 comic book. His Party Dude special, in which he forgoes his nunchucks and breakdances on his back, is powerful enough to have him banned from tournament play.
Oh, man. Can you give me the hint, please?
Voiced in the first live-action movie by Robbie Rist.
Yeah, it didn't really help me any. I'm going to say Howard the Duck.
Did the Medici ever tell Michelangelo, "Sorry, Mike, but marble's not really cost effective"?
That is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, Michelangelo, spinning on his back, breakdancing the party dude with the nunchucks. That's Michelangelo. Still for Aaron, Robbie Rist, who voices Michelangelo in that first TMNT movie, is best known for this much-reviled late-series role on a classic sitcom.
I have no idea who that would be, so I'm gonna just pass.
Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. Cousin Oliver, also the voice of Michelangelo. Next to Tarn. It's the title character from a 1999 cartoon. He has a strong ranged attack in which he hits the opponent with his fishing net.
Can I get the hint, please?
This character has been voiced by Tom Kenny.
SpongeBob SquarePants?
Correct for 10. Tarn, in the 2020 movie SpongeBob, Sponge on the Run, this Toast of London actor voices King Poseidon.
Matt Berry.
Another 10 points for Tarn will take us into our next score break from Score Master Dan.
Round 2, scores!
The game has tightened up quite a bit. Aaron now has 45 points and the half point. Mike has 80. Tarn, though, still has the lead. She has 125.
All right. See if Tarn can hang on to that lead. In the meantime, we have our next fighting game pop culture character for Mike. This is a character who first appeared in a 1938 comic book. He seems a little overpowered, honestly, with distance attacks like ice breath and heat vision.
Do I risk it or do I ask for the hint?
Big swing, big swing, big swing.
All right. Is it Superman?
It is. 20 points for Superman in the video game Multiverses. Mike, in the current Superman and Lois TV series, Dylan Walsh plays the father of this character.
Haven't seen it, but I will guess Lois Lane.
Yes, Lois Lane is correct. Back to Aaron. It's a character who first appeared in a 1996 novel. Her face stealer attack sends out a shockwave to taunt and confuse enemies.
Face stealing, you say? Can I have the hint, please?
This character has been played by Maisie Williams.
Oh, it's, what is her name in Game of Thrones? I can't remember it. Pass.
You got the property right. Mike, what's that character's name?
Arya Stark.
Arya Stark. Still for Aaron, in addition to playing Arya Stark, Maisie Williams played an immortal Viking on this British TV series.
Let's go with the show Vikings.
Mike, still coming in.
I believe this is Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Back to Tarn. This is a character from a 1969 cartoon. His, like, feed the hunger attack summons a ridiculously large sandwich, which he can throw with devastating effect.
I have a guess, but I'm going to take the hint.
This character has been played in various modern incarnations by Matthew Lillard.
Shaggy?
From Scooby-Doo, that is Shaggy Rogers. Still for Tarn, before being played by Lillard, Shaggy had long been voiced by this American Top 40 DJ.
Casey Kasem.
Another 10 for Tarn. Back over to Mike. This is a character who first appeared in a 2003 comic book series. He has a signature barbed wire-covered baseball bat and also a crowbar.
Oh, okay. I think this is the guy from The Walking Dead, but I have not seen The Walking Dead, much to my chagrin. Is it Negan? Yes.
Nice pull, Mike. Mike, Negan portrayer Jeffrey Dean Morgan played a heart patient and later a ghost or maybe a hallucination on this medical series.
Pick at random. Is it House MD?
Grey's Anatomy, in this case, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Over to Aaron. This is a character who first appeared in a 1996 video game. She comes in two versions. The classic version uses a pair of blasters, and the version based on more recent games and movies uses a bow.
I believe that would be Samus.
Mike?
Lara Croft?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Mike and Aaron just need to swap questions for the whole round, and this would be a very high score. Still for Aaron, Alicia Vikander, who played Lara Croft in 2018, also has a voice role in the 2017 English dub of a movie about these hippo-like Tove Jansson trolls.
Oh, shoot. I cannot remember what they're called. Shoot, I'm going to have to pass again.
Those characters are called the Moomins, the Danish cartoon characters, the Moomins, with Tarn's buddy Mads Mikkelsen also appearing in the English version of that movie.
Awesome.
Next up, back to Tarn. It's a comic book character who first appeared in 1993. He uses his giant right hand to beat the tar out of his opponents.
I'm going to need the hint, please.
This character has been played by David Harbour.
Is that Hellboy?
Hellboy is correct. Still for Tarn, in the 2019 Hellboy movie, David Harbour took over the role from this actor who had played him in two previous movies.
Oh, I can picture his face. Guy with the horns. The Beast guy.
Is it Herb Alpert?
Yes, those horns. It's not going to come to me. Pass.
Mike?
Is this Ron Perlman?
Yes.
Ron Perlman playing Hellboy in those Del Toro movies.
Killing me.
Well, that'll wrap up round two. Up next, another score break from Dan and on to our final round. Before we head into our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time the next episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
A Dominican author gave us this tale of an unhappy woman in what amounts to a jail. Post-colonial power is the name of the game. It ends just before the big house goes up in flame.
Think you know the answer? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle, submit that answer, and win that prize. We'll post the right answer a week from now when we put it on our social media pages. We are on Instagram and Twitter at USA Quiz Show. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the Many Waters score break. Many Waters. In case you thought the religious content of the rest of the Wrinkle in Time series was too subtle. Right now, Tarn is in the lead with 155 points. Mike is close by with 130. Aaron is trailing with 45 points and the half point. That means he'll have to go first in round three and will need to get 11 questions in order to pull into first.
And anything is still possible as we enter the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points to you for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are recent moving pictures, a toast, what's Dan doing in there, and I just don't know what to do with myself. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious from their name, so pick the thing that you think you might be able to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Aaron, in third place, you get first pick. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are recent moving pictures, a toast, what's Dan doing in there, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
Well, I think I'm going to go with a toast.
You have a guess as to where this is going?
Toast-related things.
Toast the verb or the noun?
The noun.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a noun and a verb in both cases, so I don't know why I asked that.
I'm going to write that down, though, Taylor. That's a great idea. We can just have...
We're not talking about toasted bread. We're talking about toasts given at weddings. We're talking about toasts and wedding speeches from movies, TV, and all across pop culture. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Aaron, are you ready?
I suppose.
According to a speech from this animated dad, a wedding is the process of removing weeds from one's garden.
Peter Griffin.
Homer Simpson. Owen Wilson is among those in a montage of wedding toasts in this 2005 comedy.
Wedding Crashers.
In 27 Dresses, this actress gives a bitter speech at her sister's wedding.
Katherine Heigl.
Jack Nicholson is unenthused about a match, but doesn't quite say so in a toast in this 2002 movie.
It's complicated.
About Schmidt. On The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon starts delivering a wedding toast in this language.
Klingon.
In this 2020 movie, Andy Samberg has lots of time to perfect a toast at a wedding.
Palm Springs.
Dr. Pretorius toasts to a new world of gods and monsters in this horror sequel.
It Follows.
Bride of Frankenstein. On Modern Family, she plays Dee Dee, who has to be dragged out of Jay's wedding after her speech.
Pass.
Cameron Diaz recites an E.E. Cummings poem at her sister's wedding in this 2005 dramedy.
Pass.
Anne Hathaway makes an attention-grabbing wedding toast in this 2008 drama.
Bride Wars.
Rachel Getting Married. His 1990 song, Friends in Low Places, is supposed to be a speech given at an ex's wedding.
Garth Brooks.
In Hamilton, this character gives a wedding speech while in love with the groom.
Pass.
In this comedy, Tula's father toasts that, in the end, we're all fruit.
I don't know.
That is My Big Fat Greek Wedding, with Tula's father giving the apple and orange speech. All right, Dan, let's hear the Aaron report.
All right, respectable round. Let's go through the passes first. On Modern Family, Shelley Long plays Dee Dee, that's Jay's ex-wife before his with Sofia Vergara. Cameron Diaz recites an E.E. Cummings poem at her sister's wedding in Her Shoes. And in Hamilton, it's Angelica who gives a speech at a wedding while in love with the groom, as she says in asides to the audience. Aaron had 5 correct answers, a respectable score that gives him 95 points and the half point. Unfortunately, not enough to move him into first. Mike is up next. He's 130. He'll need to get 3 correct answers in order to take the lead.
All right, Mike, pressure is on. 3 category choices remaining for you. They are recent moving pictures, what's Dan doing in there, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
I think I'm going to go with recent moving pictures. I'm guessing it's not just about recent movies, but recent makes me think I'll probably know the stuff.
Well, you're right in that the recent element is indeed correct. But in this case, the moving pictures are the moving individual hand-drawn pictures. We're talking about cartoon TV series from the 2010s. 2010s cartoon series. 90 seconds on the clock. Mike, are you ready?
I am very ready.
The Legend of Korra was a follow-up to this anime-inspired Nickelodeon show.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
This accordion impresario voices the title character on Milo Murphy's Law.
Weird Al Yankovic.
This 2001 Genndy Tartakovsky sci-fi action show returned in 2017.
Samurai Jack.
The Powerpuff Girls were made from Chemical X mixed with these ingredients.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Jake and Finn travel a weird distant future in this 2010 series.
Adventure Time.
In the revival of DuckTales, this Doctor Who star voices the Scottish Scrooge McDuck.
David Tennant.
Gravity Falls drew inspiration from this David Lynch TV show.
Twin Peaks.
This sci-fi coming-of-age series was the first Cartoon Network show created solely by a woman.
Steven Universe.
In We Bare Bears, this Important Things comedian voices a polar bear in San Francisco.
Dimitri Martin.
This Lord of the Rings and Dirk Gently star voices Wirt in the creepy Over the Garden Wall.
Elijah Wood.
Omniverse, Alien Force, and Ultimate Alien are among the series in this toyetic franchise.
Ben 10.
Rick and Morty began life as a parody of this sci-fi franchise.
Back to the Future.
The cartoon version of this movie franchise has the subtitle Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Avengers.
Adult male fans of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic are often called this.
Bronies.
Correct, but after the buzzer on
wow.
The Bronies.
Oh boy.
Dude. That was very impressive.
That category was written for
wow.
me.
Wow.
That was awesome. Wow.
All right, Dan, impressive work from Mike. Let's hear just how impressive with the Mike report.
Yeah, there's no passes to go over because Mike had 13 questions before time ran out, and he got all 13 correct.
Wow.
That gives him a total of 260 points. That's rivaling some of the best performance we've ever seen in a lightning round. Tarna's up next. She has 155. That means she's going to have to get 11 correct answers in order to take the win.
All right, Tarn, that is a tall order. See if you can pull it off. Your two remaining category choices are, what's Dan doing in there? And I just don't know what to do with myself.
All right, I think we all want to know, what's Dan doing in there?
You got a guess as to where this is going, Tarn?
I'm going to say either All About Dan Casino or Famous Dans in general.
Well, in this case, we're not talking about Famous Dans or Dan Casino. Though Dan Casino is famous, he's a published author, he's a big deal. But for this round, every answer is going to include the letters D-A-N in that order somewhere in the answer, but never in reference to the name Dan or Daniel. So it's a grab bag of possibilities, but all with a D-A-N consecutively somewhere in the answer. 90 okay. seconds on the clock. Tarn, are you ready?
Yes.
Eddie Redmayne starred in this Oscar-winning Tom Hooper biopic.
Pass.
He had a lead role in both Hannibal and the revival of Law & Order.
Hugh Dancy.
This online movie ticket seller was founded in 2000.
Fandango.
The prequel to this 1987 Jennifer Grey movie was set in Cuba.
Dirty Dancing.
This musician came to prominence with the release of his 2004 mashup record, The Grey Album.
Pass.
Mary McDonnell plays Stands with a Fist in this Oscar-winning Western.
Dances with Wolves.
Pierce Brosnan is a volcanologist in this 1997 disaster movie.
Dante's Peak.
Aside from being McSteamy, he played multiple man in X-Men The Last Stand.
Pass.
If Jim Carrey is Lloyd, then he is Harry.
Pass.
Dove Cameron and Cameron Boyce star in this series of Disney Channel original movies.
Pass.
She played Edie Britt on Desperate Housewives and Paige on Knott's Landing.
Pass.
In Star Wars, the first base of the Rebel Alliance was on this Outer Rim world.
Dantooine.
This New Jersey-born singer has fronted the Misfits and Samhain.
Danzig.
Bjork is going blind in this 2000 Lars von Trier film.
Dancer in the Dark.
Right at the buzzer, Dancer in the Dark. All right, Dan, let's hear the Tarn report and the final scores.
Whew, that was another very good round. Let's go through the passes first. Eddie Redmayne starred in The Danish Girl. DJ Danger Mouse came to prominence with his mashup of The Grey Album, which was the Beatles' White Album plus Jay-Z's The Black Album, so they got a Grey Album. See, I know something about music. Eric Dane is best known for being McSteamy, but I just love the fact that he did, in fact, play Madrox the Multiple Man in X-Men The Last Stand, because I love Madrox the Multiple Man, and he doesn't get much love. If Jim Carrey is Lloyd, then Jeff Daniels is Harry. Dove Cameron and Cameron Boyce star in a series of Disney Channel original movies that is beloved by people who are currently 13 years old. That is The Descendants. And Nicolette Sheridan played Edie Britt on Desperate Housewives. Tarn got 8 correct answers, giving her 235 points. That means our final scores are Aaron with 95.5, Tarn with 235, and our winner with 260. It's Mike.
Oh,
nicely done, everybody.
Pulled it out in the end. Congratulations, Mike. Man, after that first round one about Cinderella, where you were way behind, you really turned it into a Cinderella story.
Ha!
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, he's so pleased with himself. Look at him.
Look how smug he is.
And also a huge thanks to Tarn and Aaron for coming to play with us today. Super, super fun game. Please come back anytime. Though in the meantime, Mike, tell us where listeners can find more of your work online.
Sure thing. So I make video games. If you like short experimental stuff made for competitions where you have to make a game in 48 hours from start to finish, Check out my stuff at birdwords.itch.io. That's birdwards with an A, not words with an O.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. And Tarn, where can we find you over on the social medias?
Not a whole lot, but I'm on Twitter for the probably temporary time being at Tarnita77.
And Aaron can be found watching The Shining at the local drive-in. You can also follow Mike as the question mark emoji over on our Season 8 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the first elimination match in the Genesis Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Cyndaquil for life!